went to the book sale, but I didn't. I have so many books. I'm reading ACOTAR right now, so I'm in the last book, and I'm trying to read it slowly because I want to like draw it out because it's the last one.
Yeah.
I know I can move on and just start another set.
She's written
more. Not the same storyline, though, I don't think. Different series, but I'm dragging out the last book. Because I powered through the first four, like, mm-hmm. wouldn't put them down. And then the fourth one is just kind of like, I don't know, not a lot happens. I think it's just kind of set up, and it's the skinniest book too. So I think it's kind of the setup for the last one. So now that I'm in the last one, it's getting like good, and I have to rein it in a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't want them to be over.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's sad. That's how I'm going to feel with Outlander.
That's how I felt with 6 Feet Under, the mm-hmm. show. Like, I waited to watch the last, like, three episodes because I was so invested in it.
Yeah. We are watching Schitt's Creek, my, like, third or fourth time through, and Mike's second. And we have the last episode left because we always wait.
Yeah.
Because it's so emotional. I love that show.
I watched that when I was in bed with the broken foot.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could
just so good.
Yeah, and it was just kind of like mind numbing.
Yeah.
But we went to the book sale, and I bought a couple history books. One of them is like off the beaten path, Michigan.
Ooh,
and
fun.
And then the other one is the Peshtigo Fire.
Ooh, yes.
Which I've never read a book about. Like, I've read the wiki and read stuff online, and then I
You went there.
We went to the Peshtigo Museum.
Yeah.
So, like, now that I have a book about it, I'm excited to read that, but I'm going to wait. Like, but, yeah, Mom bought a whole basket of books, and I'm like, I
don't have time for that.
Well, it's not even that I don't have time. It's just I have so many from the last library book sale.
Yeah.
I bought a shit ton of, like, autobiographies and stuff and thinking, oh, I'm going to get around to reading them. And now, though, coming off the ACOTAR series, I'm going to continue reading.
Yeah.
I'm like, because I could go in spurts.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday was a super long day for me, and I didn't get much sleep the night before. That's why my throat's a little scratchy.
Yeah.
Didn't get much sleep the night before. Then I got up, went to the book sale, went to work, got out of work, power cleaned my house because I was selling my 75-gallon to a friend of mine.
Ooh, cool.
That I haven't seen in a long time.
Okay.
So I didn't want him to think that I live how I do, you know.
Yes.
So I vacuumed and did the dishes and I did laundry. And it sucked because in order to get to the fish tank, him and his friend, his roommate, had to go through every room in the house. So it's not like I could just,
yes,
you know what I mean?
I know.
To get down into the basement.
Yeah.
So even the laundry room, I like tidied up the laundry room a little bit.
Oh my God.
Well, just because, you know, we just dump stuff in it. Out of sight, out of mind.
Our garage was.
Yeah. So he came over. Then this was at like 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been making Jello shots and putting shots for the bar. For events.
Are you going out tonight?
I haven't really talked to Greg about it.
Okay.
Probably not. Who knows?
Yeah.
So anyway, Chris came over, left, and I'd made like 200 Jello shots and like 100 pudding shots or something.
My God.
And just a couple days ago. And I get a message from one of the regulars who had a ton to drink.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday was basically St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, for a lot of people.
For a lot of people.
Yeah.
He messages me and he's like, get back to the kitchen, make more shots. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, it's 6 o'clock at night. Like, how did this happen?
Right.
Like, I made a ton. So then I messaged the bartender that was working and I said, I just want to like verify with you and just not take orders from a drunk person. And she's like, yeah, you know, if you had time, that'd be awesome because we're doing a sale through the weekend, blah, blah, blah. So cool. I'm like, okay. Now, mind you, I'm in my house. My hair is like this, but exploded, okay, because I've been cleaning.
Yeah.
So my bangs, it's all curly. I looked like Cinderella hair, okay? And then I'm wearing a floral print ankle-length sundress. Big fluffy socks like I have on my feet now, and this like gray cardigan that I have that's really big, but it's got skeleton print on it.
Yeah,
so like the back looks like
sexy
a spine.
Sexy as fuck,
dude. I look so hot. And I'm messaging them like, I mean, I go there and pick up all the supplies.
Yeah,
go home and make the stuff and then bring it back. So I'm debating, and it's not like I'm getting paid a ton for this. You know, this isn't my retirement money. This is just like I'm doing it for funsies, kind of. So I go in there. At this point, it's like 8 o'clock. I had put on cargo pants to go with my big giant sweater.
Very nice.
And Cinderella hair. I did put a bandana on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I go in there, box up all the stuff. Take it out to the car. Mind you, I'd been working alone, and then I cleaned my house alone. So going into the bar St. Patrick's Day weekend at 8 o'clock at night was, like, so overwhelmingly loud.
Nah. Yeah.
Put all the stuff in my car. Well, the person that had summoned me to make more shots was still there, and him and his buddy were hammered. And they're like, oh, do you think there's cabs right now? We need to blah, blah, blah. We need to get downtown. We need to... And I'm like, well, if you guys are going home, I will drive you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not bar hopping in my pajamas. Like, my... I was going to drink a cup of tea and, like, read my book with a cat on my lap.
So, fuck yes. Best night.
Mm-hmm. Such a good night planned. Because I'd worked all day. So then I... ended up, they wanted to go to Ordoc because of the Coney, mobile Coney was there.
Oh, yeah.
I load them up in the car. You know, drunk people. It's like herding cats.
Mm-hmm.
Get them in my car. Drive them. No Coney truck. So they're like, oh, well, we'll just wake up one of the neighbors for food.
That's exactly how it is being a DD.
So yes. I dropped them off at the one guy's apartment. And he does, one of his neighbors does, like, feed him and take care of him, kind of.
That's nice.
So, like, all right, you're on your own. So I didn't get back home until, like, 9:30. And then I made 100 Jello shots and 100 pudding shots. So by the time Greg got home from work at, like, 10:45.
Yeah.
I was ready for bed. I was so tired. And then, of course, he's not tired because he just got out of work.
Mm-hmm.
So we stayed up watching... Loudermilk,
we've talked about this, I have to watch
just yes. The episodes are short, so okay. Just watch one, and if you it's good.
I have Clone Wars to get through too, and that's like 8 seasons.
We switch it up because we're watching The Boys.
I have Ted Lasso,
and we're watching Loudermilk, and we're watching something else, and I want to start watching Hill House again.
Oh, you have to watch Fall of the House of Usher.
I haven't watched that yet.
Oh.
Good?
It is good. So good.
I can add that into the rotation. Because then it's like whatever the mood is. It's not like, oh, we have to power through whatever we're watching. I would just try out an episode. They're under 30 minutes.
Yeah, okay. I'm watching Ted Lasso right now.
Is that good?
Oh, my God. It is amazing.
I think that's on something we don't get.
It's on Apple TV. Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought. Sorry. I'm tired.
It's fine. Yeah, yesterday I cleaned also. I'm avoiding homework because I have a lot of homework because we're going to Wales next week.
Is that already?
Friday. We fly out Friday night.
Holy shit. So are we going to try to record again?
We should probably figure it out.
How long are you going to be gone for?
We fly out Friday, and then we come back Sunday. like the next Sunday.
Are the kids going to?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I completely forgot about that.
That's okay.
We both have a lot going on.
We both have a lot going on.
But anyway. Yeah, I did completely forget about that. But we do need to then...
Yes.
Double up at some point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And with summer coming too, like, it would just be a good idea to do that anyway.
We always say that and it doesn't happen.
And then it never happens.
Because today's St. Patrick's Day and this episode comes out tomorrow.
Woo! Happy St. Patrick's Day! All right. Hello, everyone. My name's Chelsea.
I'm Erin.
And this is Slasher Movie Review. On tonight's episode of Slasher Movie Review, we're going to a little old motel in Motel Hell, which came out in 1980. It's an hour and 41 minutes long. You can find this on Prime if you're subbed or Tubi for free.
Mm-hmm.
It's directed by Kevin Connor, and it's written by Stephen Charles Jaffe and Robert Jaffe, which if you are a Critical Role person... or you're into, like, voice actors and anime and stuff, you might recognize the last name of Jaffe because Taliesin Jaffe is Robert Jaffe's son. And Taliesin is one of my favorite people on the planet. He's super cool.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm like, where? What direction is this going?
but yeah, that's just a little side note. Because I saw the last name and I was like... I'm pretty sure there aren't a lot of Jaffes in Hollywood, so.
I have no idea.
Yes.
That's one of those things that you're saying, though, like, you actually know, but you don't know.
What? I don't think that there are, like, and if there are, they're writers and stuff, and they're related to Taliesin, like.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
I keep yawning, sorry.
That's okay. Motel Hell stars
Rory.
Rory Calhoun as Vincent. Nancy Parsons as Ida. She was in Porky's and Ladybugs. Paul Link as Sheriff Bruce. He was in Chips and Every Woman's Dream with the woman that plays Samantha in Sex and the City in 1994.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't think of that actor's name now.
And Nina Axelrod as Terry, who was in a movie called Roller Boogie.
I would watch it.
I would watch it too. And Time Walker. Like, a lot of the people in this film were in a lot of, like, 70s and 80s movies.
Like Rory Calhoun.
Yeah. I had never heard of anything that he'd been in that was super particular. But I know you have because the look on your face.
Okay. This is, like, so dumb. But before I even knew that he was an actor.
He is so handsome.
He is very handsome. Gentleman. So there's an episode of The Simpsons.
Shut up.
Where Santa's Little Helper, there's like a ton of puppies. It's kind of like a 101 Dalmatians type thing.
I remember this episode.
And he goes to get a puppy and he's looking at them, and one of the puppies, they all look like Santa's Little Helper. They're all brown. One of the puppies stands up on its hind legs, and he's like, look at you, like a little Rory Calhoun. And I'm like, what? And that has stuck in my head forever. No, Rory Calhoun was in a bunch of, like
he's been
westerns.
In a ton of stuff and a ton of westerns and things, but I was just like, there are so many that it's
little Rory Calhoun.
And Nancy Parsons looks very familiar, so I had to like look to see what she was in, and of course Porky's, which I've seen a few times, more than I like to admit.
This was interesting.
Oh my god! I think if it were made today, it would be terrifying.
Well, okay, so I guess when it was written, they had the idea of making it like as dark as it came off.
Really?
Okay. But then they turned it more into like
horror comedy.
Horror comedy.
Okay.
Mike
watched a little bit of it.
And was he like, what the fuck?
And it was just like, this is the dumbest movie I've ever seen.
Okay. What happened with this? Was we needed a movie, right? We were, neither of us had come up with anything.
Because we have a lot of shit going on in our lives right now.
Yeah. And I work for me, it shouldn't be as hectic as it is, but I'm trying to like gear up for summer. So I'm like painting, scrubbing grout, like doing all the shit at the rentals, which is more exhausting than normal. So I ran into somebody and on his forearm, he had a Killer Clowns tattoo. And it's the two little clown heads in the popcorn bucket.
Yeah.
And I turned my head kind of to like see if that's what it was to get a better angle. And he's like, oh, it's from a movie. And I'm like, yeah, Killer Clowns. Well, then, of course, conversation.
Yeah. Conversation happens.
Yeah. So we got talking about that, about Killer Clowns. I told him about the podcast. And then he's like, well, if you liked Killer Clowns, you will love Motel Hell.
Which... pretty accurate. Like, they're along the same. And we get so many recommendations from friends, from people. Like, I've kind of been keeping a list. Like, we still have to do Mr. Brooks, which is one that has been recommended. There are a few others.
We should do that. We could do that next.
We
could like
do
Mr.
that
Brooks.
One next. Yeah. Because Dane Cook's in it, and it's just weird.
That is, like, I forgot about that, actually. Yeah. Typically, we get a lot of requests, but it's kind of hit or miss.
Yeah.
Because I have to be in the mood to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody like this.
We kind of have a list in our head of stuff that we're doing.
Yeah.
And if somebody recommends something, it's just like, oh, yeah, like we'll get around to it. Like.
Yeah. And this one, it was just good timing. Mm-hmm. It was day of me picking. He said, you should do this. And I'm like. All right. Yeah, sounds sweet. Good. Yeah. Something funny.
As soon as I saw the cover, I was like, this is fantastic.
Did you love the cover?
I love the cover.
So this is a fun fact. I feel like even though we're talking a ton, not even about the movie yet, it's pretty quick.
It's pretty quick.
Yeah. So there was, you know, Fangoria magazine.
Yeah.
This was on number 9, Fangoria. It was on the cover.
Okay.
And it was the pig mask with a chainsaw.
Yeah.
And it's a collectible now because they took it out of print really quickly, and I don't know why.
Oh, okay.
And this, you know, it has like a cult following now where it didn't really at the time. But they sell online for $50 to $250.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah. And I mean, it, you know, came out in the 80s, so that makes just the fact that it's that old made, I'm looking at you like, we're old.
We're old, yeah.
But that makes it a collectible, too.
We also came out in the 80s.
I know, we're collectibles now. Collectible
we're
edition.
Vintage. Mm-hmm.
I never think of vintage as being 80s. I always think of vintage as being like 1920.
Yeah, because we're old.
Well, no, like, when I think of, like, vintage jewelry.
Oh, yeah.
I think of, like, costume jewelry.
Yeah.
From the 50s.
Okay.
Because I was at Vinny's, I can't remember where, I was thrift shopping somewhere, and it was, like, vintage earrings, and they were all, like, mid-80s.
Okay.
Like, the big plastic ones.
And you're like, oh.
I would call that retro.
I would call that retro, too.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. This film, for it being about a hotel, isn't really about a hotel that much.
Not at all. No.
It's sort of a combination of, like, Psycho and Texas Chainsaw.
Yes.
Would be my...
Yeah.
Because, like...
It's hotel adjacent.
Yeah. Even in Psycho, motel. The hotel isn't really, like... Okay.
No.
Now... It starts out, the name Motel Hell, it's Motel Hello, but the O in the sign is, like, flickering.
Yeah.
It starts out with a hotel attendant. He checks in on the house, everything's fine, and then he takes his gun outside. And I'm like, okay, maybe he's, like, checking his, like, barnyard animals or whatever. No. There's this couple driving down the road on a motorcycle. And he just shoots out the tire.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, this doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the gal is alive.
Yeah, Terry is alive. I mean,
they both are alive.
Both are alive.
But they take Terry. Well, sorry. I'm like trying to focus.
They they take her back to the hotel. Well, Vincent takes her back to the hotel.
Yeah. And he's like, he says open granny's room, which I thought at first was like, oh, is she in there and weird?
Yeah. Right.
But I think it's just like she passed away and they locked the door and it's like,
yeah,
I don't know, like a little time capsule of granny's life. Anyway, they get her all tucked in. Then next scene, someone's buying smoked meat from them.
Yeah, because Vincent, like the motel owner, it's Farmer Vincent's Smoked Meats.
Yeah, he makes like sausage and stuff.
And beef jerky and things like that.
Mm-hmm. So he's got the hotel business going. Then he's, well, it's like a little strip motel.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the little strip motel. He also raises pigs for smoked meats.
Yep.
So he's got like a...
He's an entrepreneur.
It's gives you the feel of like roadside stand, but then he also sells it like in the county.
Yeah.
But apparently it's really good. Now, you think that like when the two girls... So he's talking to people selling meat. There's these two girls. They go into the smokehouse area where they're not supposed to be.
Like little girls.
Little girls.
Yeah.
Now, I thought for sure, like...
I thought they were going to find a body.
I thought so, too. But it's also, like, the first 10 minutes of the movie. So, that would be a little early. But
I
no.
I think so.
They do find a person with a pig mask.
Which is so, like, what is happening?
I don't know.
So these little six-year-old girls
are
walking. They just, like, go into the...
They're snooping. They, like, dared each other to go in.
Yeah. While the parents or grandparents...
Whoever they are
adults. Talking to Vincent. And then they, like, run out screaming. It's just chaos.
And, like, well, I guess... Because I'm like, wouldn't the parents like wonder what was going on? But they're kids, and they're going in the smokehouse. Even seeing like sides of meat hanging would probably, you know, be scary.
Yeah.
Now, Sheriff shows up, and the girl, I don't think we know her name at that
point.
No,
we don't.
She wants to see her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Now, this is like the next day, right? Like,
yeah.
Not much time
and
passes.
The Sheriff... Bruce is Vincent's younger brother.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He comes to like investigate the accident and talk to her, whatever. She wants to see her boyfriend, Bo.
Yes, it's Bo. I think. Yeah.
And he passed away in the accident and was buried.
Yeah, I thought that was super weird, too. Like, Vincent was just like, oh, I buried him this morning.
Yeah, and he didn't make Terry, it, and I buried him.
And Terry is just like, what the fuck?
That would, like, never in 10,000 years fly.
Not at all.
Even in 1980.
And
somebody dies, and you're like, oh, he didn't make it.
I buried him.
Him up.
Yeah, and the sheriff is just like, oh, yeah, like, in this county, like, that's okay to do, like, the laws. And I'm like, that's not a thing.
I don't think that's a real thing.
It's not the Wild West.
I could see if it was, like, your maybe, like, a family member, like, an elderly family member that you kind of knew was going to pass away from something. And they did, and then it's like, oh, home, buried them at home.
Mm-hmm.
In the family cemetery on their property or whatever.
Yeah.
Not just, like, buried. Which, I mean, technically he did bury him.
From the neck down.
It's so weird.
It's so weird. Anyway.
Now, he's buried. Do you see his face at that point? In the garden?
I don't think so.
Okay. An inspector shows up. And now Terry's, like, staying with them.
Terry, it's Stockholm Syndrome. It is 100%. Terry, like, Ida is just like befriending Terry, and like everybody's just like this happy family, and her boyfriend was just
her boyfriend disappeared in this motorcycle accident, which had to be traumatic for her. And then she's just like, Cheryl, stay here.
And it's not like this happened over the course of months. It was days. She has no family. Like, she has no, like, what the fuck?
Maybe they were just kind of like drifters.
Transient.
Traveling across the countryside or something on his motorcycle. But yeah, like, no one's going to be looking for her.
I don't know. It's just weird.
It is really strange.
And I love it when Vincent calls her his little flower. Like,
well, that's sort of like creepy older man thing, because he had to be in his 50s.
Yeah.
And she was, what, early 20s?
Early 20s.
Okay.
For sure.
I think on IMDb, somebody made that comment, too, because the actor that played her boyfriend was also, like, older.
She likes older men.
I mean, all right. So.
I like older men, too, but not that old. I'm trying to think of like a an older actor that I find attractive.
Well, you know, it's funny. There's Rory Calhoun, who is like in his 50s. That's like not that much older than me.
That's not.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Who's the guy that was in all the Westerns, and he was in that movie with Nicolas Cage, the comic book movie? With like the big mustache.
And, Sam Elliott.
Oh,
yeah, Mom likes him, too. Mom's got a crush on Sam Elliott.
He's cute.
Mm-hmm. He's kind of, like, timeless.
He is timeless.
And he's got a really nice voice, which I like.
Yeah.
So, Vince and Ida tell Terry that she's just meant to be there.
Yeah.
Like,
the Lord gave her to us.
Which is disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
But the inspector, so first he's there, and they kind of...
He's almost like a vet person. Like,
well, if he's a state inspector, he'd be a vet, I think, as well, because he has to like check the health of the animals. But he checks them and he's like, oh, some of them look infected. And he's like kind of giving them a hard time.
Yeah.
Well, then the inspector sneaks back and climbs over this fence into what I was calling the secret garden.
The secret garden. Yeah, so you get kind of like a glimpse throughout like the first 20 minutes of the movie of like this fenced in area that has like ivy and shit like growing all over it, so nobody can go in there.
Yeah.
And as the inspector is like getting in his car and stuff and leaving, he kind of like looks over and is a little suspicious of that situation.
I wonder, well, he couldn't with like food. Food rules, but you could always say, maybe at the time too, or depending on like what kind of license you have to sell your shit, you could be like, that's where I grow the herbs that I put into the sausage, and it is top secret information.
Stay the fuck out. That, which isn't that off, that far off.
That is true. Wow. Okay. Yeah. But he could say, like, that's where secret ingredients are. So shush, no one can go look in there.
Yeah.
Now, the inspector sneaks back. He climbs over the fence and sees what's going on.
Oh, my God.
Now, it is a garden full of heads.
Covered in burlap sacks.
But they all have burlap sacks over their heads. But you can hear them like... Rrr.
They're very like zombie-ish.
The sounds that they make are so Walking Dead.
Yes.
They sound exactly like the Walking Dead zombies.
I don't understand.
Why?
Because they're not zombies.
They had their throat slit.
Well, yeah, but like...
So they could only like moan.
Okay.
They can't like produce words. What? Anyway, the inspector gets caught. Vince catches him.
Yeah, so the inspector goes and like lifts up the burlap sack of Bo's.
Yes.
And Bo is there, like, gurgling and stuff. And, he gets whacked in the head.
I don't really understand the purpose of burying them. Other than to, like, keep them captive.
Maybe. But I feel like that there would be other ways to do that.
And I feel like they would get, like, smushy. They would get smushy. I feel like this is an episode of, like, Mindhunter or something.
Like- so there was, oh, what was it? Criminal Minds or something. There was an episode where a guy grew mushrooms off of people.
That was Hannibal.
Yes, where he would drug them and keep them alive and grow mushrooms.
That was only like the second or third episode too, and I was watching it like, holy fucking shit.
It was wild.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, so they were Hannibal. Basically like in a coma, like decaying.
Mm-hmm. Ugh.
Underground. Partially underground.
They found some of them and some of them lived, right? Like I want to say...
Yes.
But that's what this reminded me of. I was like, oh, now I know it's Hannibal. Hannibal was
fucked up.
Wild. Yeah. What a wild roller coaster of emotions that show was. Mads Mikkelsen.
Oof.
Oof. So hot.
Exactly. That's an attractive.
Attractive older man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Once again, I don't know how much older he is than me, but have you seen the new Indiana Jones?
No.
The last one?
Mm-mm.
He's in it.
Is it good? Like, is it good?
Guess what? Guess who Mads plays? A Nazi.
Oh my god. Wow. Wowee.
I thought it was good.
Okay.
It's got like time travel and stuff in it. It's crazy.
Okay. We'll try it out.
It's the last one. You have to watch it.
Marion is in it, right? Marion Ravenwood?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So then he's got this garden. Then there's a tour van, band tour van.
This cracked me up.
And he said... bear traps in the road.
He said.
Vince tells Ida that he likes the creativity involved. He likes being creative. Creative kills.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, it seems like eventually they would catch on that, like, all of these people
are just missing and gone. And
yeah,
I don't understand because there are a lot of people. They've been doing it for years.
I was going to say, like, how long have they had this, like, sausage business?
That sign looks very old.
True. Now, this is when you see he, like, slits their throat.
She does.
She does.
Mm-hmm. She's the surgeon.
And then they cut their vocal cords, stitch it up, throw some tape over the top of it, and mm-hmm. then they plant them in the ground.
Yeah.
With just their heads exposed. When they're planting the band, it is...
comedic. Like,
it's funny, but also, like, super fucked up.
Yes.
Like...
And one of the band members is in Cheers. He's the blonde guy in Cheers. That is always at the bar. The postman.
What is his name?
The mailman.
Now that you said it... Continue. There's Norm and his friend blank.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
It's him.
It's totally him. He's got a distinct face.
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking it up?
John Ratzenberger as Cliff.
Cliff. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yep.
I haven't watched that show in a while.
I know.
So then they go on this nice little picnic. And they're talking about eating dogs.
Yeah, so Bruce is there. And the sheriff...
Oh, Bruce is trying to get with Terry.
Yeah.
Kind of, too.
Man, bless him. He is just fucking clueless about the entire situation. But for a while, you think he's in on it for, like, just a hot second.
Yeah, you do. You think maybe... Because he's so, like, oh, well...
Naive and dumb.
Your boyfriend passed away and he's buried. The end. So I thought for sure he was in on it, but he's not.
He's not.
Like, how does that go on?
How does your older brother run a meat business that he's killing people for, and you are the sheriff of the town? You are a fucking terrible sheriff. What are you doing?
He is, because a lot of people go missing.
Like, so many people.
On, like, the same stretch of road. Mm-hmm. Not whatever.
Yeah, but Ida, Terry... Vincent and Bruce are having a lovely picnic talking about eating dog.
Yeah.
And then Vincent goes on and it's just like, well, they're all God's creatures. Like, ooh, I wrote down what they said. Meat's meat. A man's got to eat. That's the quote that they say.
Did you ever watch The Road?
No.
Or read the book?
I might have read the book.
There's like some crazy cannibalism in it.
I heard it was traumatizing.
I was traumatized.
Okay.
Hardcore traumatized by it.
Because isn't, like, the guy's kid?
No, they, there's, like, bands of people that are survivors.
Like, I imagine that that shit would happen.
And
like,
they catch people, and the people that they catch, they eat, but not all at once.
Oh, I would want to be eaten all at once.
Yeah, no, they just take off what they need, and you stay alive.
Tainted meat! Like in The Walking Dead.
Yes. Exactly. Now, Bruce takes Terry out to the drive-in.
He's just, bless his heart.
Yeah, I mean, he's trying. It's really, it's not going anywhere. Now, then, okay, so that, you know, he's trying to get with her. Then there's two ski instructors.
Oh, they're ski instructors, yes.
That are also driving just late at night on this very dangerous stretch of road.
You would think that, like, rumors would be flying around, like, don't.
Something.
Yeah.
Cursed road. $1,500 in 2 days is how much money they were going to make. And I was kind of, like, impressed by that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so they're driving. This is good. They come across... like cardboard cutouts of cows in the road, blocking the road. Just
run them over.
Definitely run them over.
Just run them over.
But wouldn't that be so fucked up?
It would be fucked up.
Like, say you're taking like 492 or something. No, nope. 492 isn't scary enough. I have to think of the road to like Palmer area, yeah, where it's like curvy.
35.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You come around a corner and there's all these like cartoonish looking cardboard cutouts, or they're like wooden cows,
yeah,
with like reflective eyes.
Yeah, back that shit up, turn around.
I would pee my pants. And they're of course traveling late at night.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if it's one of those things where, you know, they stay at such and such town, and then the next stretch of the drive is, you know, maybe they have like 100 miles before the next town.
Yeah.
So they just, that's like a common time of night to be passing through that particular area.
Yeah. And it must only happen at night. Like, he doesn't like do this during the day. You don't ever see him, no, do anything during the day.
So anyway, they get murdered.
Oh, once the sun goes down on old 55.
I know, right?
Murder time.
No, he just pushes their car into a swamp.
So this which is...
has to be full of cars.
It is. At the end.
Yeah.
So they have like a radio in their car.
Yes.
So one of them gets gassed immediately. And the other person's in the car driving. And Vincent is trying to, like, run her off the road.
Yeah.
And
she's calling for help.
She's calling for help on the CB radio. And the cat, like, Bruce hears it.
Yes.
And then the radio goes dead when she's being pushed into the pond.
Yes. It's
filled with cars. And so then Bruce is, like, a little suspicious. Like, he goes and, like, talks to them because Vincent and Ida have a CB radio, too. And they were just like, oh, yeah, like, no, kids just being kids.
Isn't this the part where, like, Bruce and Terry hear it on the radio.
Yeah.
And they go to, like, investigate.
Yeah.
But obviously, like... yeah.
There's nothing. Yeah.
The next couple people that they kill, they... so good. Vince and Ida put a classifieds ad out that their hotel was like a swinger meetup spot.
Yes. This is my favorite part.
It's fucking hilarious.
This is my all-time favorite part. Yes.
And I just wrote, do your stretches. They invite this couple and the couple's like, ooh, yeah, can't wait.
Yeah. And you get, so they show up to the hotel and Vincent is they forgot to turn on the no vacancy sign.
Yes.
So Vincent's a little caught off guard, but he shows up like with his robe on, like, oh, how can I help you? Whatever. And then the couple like goes into the hotel room.
Yeah.
And their outfits, it's just wonderful.
That's great.
Their outfits are like see-through with like leather straps and collars and like all of these things. Like everything.
She's got a whip.
Everything
it's
you can.
It's so stereotype of like.
It's stereotype 1980s bondage stuff.
Yeah.
And so Ida and Vincent show up to the hotel room with rope and everything, and they're like getting into it or whatever. And then all of a sudden, Ida gasses the dude.
Well, she says it's laughing gas.
Yeah.
And yeah, she gasses him, and then the woman is like,
that's not laughing gas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoops.
Whoopsie.
I mean, you're already tied up, honey. Sorry.
Yeah.
And she's like, ooh, hog tied. Good for you, you little exhibitionist.
Whatever. So that part, I would watch it just for that. It was so funny.
Mm-hmm.
So Vince wants to teach Terry how to smoke meat now that she's been there for who knows how long.
Yeah.
Couple weeks.
2 days.
Two days. He's done a lot of murdering in just 2 days. But it's pretty much always nighttime.
It's
when
nighttime.
So you don't.
He must not get any sleep. Like, what the fuck?
Well, did I ever tell you that's why John quit watching Dexter? Like, how does he have a 50-hour-a-week job and then stay up all night murdering?
Yeah, I don't like that. Like, when do you fucking sleep? Everybody
exactly.
needs sleep. Or
I
you,
guess.
Or you go insane.
Your eyelashes look really good right now.
Thank you.
Anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he... So, John was like, I can't
that,
do this.
Mm-hmm. That sometimes with...
Because not only does he plan these, like, elaborate murders.
Yeah.
He also, like...
He's a blood splatter specialist.
Yes.
That must take up so much time.
I imagine, like, yeah, being, like, a crime scene investigator type
yeah.
person, that you're not lacking work ever.
No.
And then he's planning murders. First, he's stalking the people. Then he's...
Doesn't he have a girlfriend, too, for a little bit?
Like off and on, yeah.
Okay.
He has a couple during the show. But then he does the murder, which sometimes takes a while. And then he disposes of the body, like, out to sea. Like, how do you have time for that?
Yeah.
I don't have kids or anything. I don't have time for anything. I barely have time to do this podcast.
I barely have time to do this.
And here's Dexter. Full-time job murdering people.
Mm-hmm. No. No, thank you. I, like, sleep a lot. I could never murder people at night.
He'd have to be a daytime
murderer. I would have to be a daytime murderer, like Ted Bundy.
Where you just, like, pick up hitchhikers along the road, like, hey, get in.
Yeah.
Murdered.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you get caught.
That is how you get caught. Daytime.
Daytime murderers typically get caught. The mm-hmm. nighttime murderers, I mean, also get caught.
Yeah.
But you're less likely.
Wow.
You usually can do more murdering.
At night?
Like, before you get caught.
I think at dusk would be a good time. Anyway.
A dusk murderer? Like, as soon as the sun sets, but it's like nautical twilight.
Red at night, baby. Red at night.
Oh, my God. I'm going home. Going home. Oh, which on the way here, it was like white out snowing.
Yeah, I hate it.
Like the Teal Lake Hill?
Mm-hmm.
Like... 10-foot visibility. And when did the thing fall through the ice?
Yesterday or 2 days ago.
Did it?
Yeah.
I wonder who put money on the 15th or whatever.
March 15th. I don't know. I never do that because...
It's like $5. It's fun. And I think you get like a 5-minute window or something. Or a half hour window.
Okay.
So you pick the day... And then you also can pick the time.
That seems... I don't like gambling.
Well,
I don't
I mean,
like betting.
I love gambling.
Oh, my God.
I love it. And they usually have the tickets for sale at, like, the rec show and stuff.
Oh, okay.
For those of you listening, Teal Lake does a thing. It's like the Rotary Club or something. Yeah. Lions or, I don't know, some club. They set this metal, I don't know.
It's like a metal, I don't know, it's a metal contraption.
Yeah. They set this, like, metal thing out on the ice, and it's got flags all over it, and it's painted bright yellow. Mm-hmm. And people can bet on when it's going to fall through.
You know, just a little Upper Peninsula of Michigan hometown fun.
It's a fundraiser.
It is a fundraiser.
Maybe it's Kiwanis that does it.
It might be Kiwanis. Actually, I'm pretty sure it's Kiwanis now that I think about it. Because
I can think they have their, like,
the logo, the K. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, for just a couple dollars, you can guess when it's going to fall through. So you're not, like, you're guessing.
Yeah. Whatever. Whatever makes you sleep at night.
And it's so sporadic. It's not like you're betting odds on something.
No.
Like, oh, that NASCAR driver has a whatever odds of winning.
Yeah.
It's just...
It's fine.
Yeah. Someday I'm going to put your name on it and you'll win. And then I'll be like, see, gambling's fun. Oh, where am I? Okay. So Vince wants to teach Terry how to smoke meat. Your face.
That's just... Girl, you are so pretty. What the fuck are you doing?
I don't know.
Little Stockholm syndrome.
So he leaves after they have this conversation, and
she's super enthusiastic about it.
She stays in the barn, but she's also, like, snooping around a little bit.
Yeah.
Ida interrupts her. Where am I at? Oh, then for some reason, I don't know if this is, like, a bonding
I think it's thing. A bonding moment. I think Ida...
And it's sort of, like, set up because...
It is, absolutely.
Is it...
Ida
Terry,
takes her...
Terry can't swim. Or Ida can't swim.
Ida can't swim, allegedly.
Yeah. So they go out tubing together, and I'm like, this is a recipe for disaster.
Like, why are you fucking tubing, girl, if you cannot swim? But it's set up.
You're in a tube.
Shit can happen.
Why do people go on boats that can't swim?
Yeah, that's true. Anyway.
I guess being on a boat is a little bit different than, you know,
yes,
being in a tube.
But they go to the reservoir where all the fucking cars are.
Yeah.
Which you don't know at this point. You don't know that that's where all of the vehicles are. That water would be fucking gross, though.
Full of cars. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the tube pops. She pops her tube.
Yeah. Ida pops her tube.
And then pops her tube. As she's struggling, she's basically drowning Terry.
Yeah.
Like, yes. Intentionally drowning Terry. Yeah. Well.
Because Terry is competition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, like... If you're a murderer, you don't want to bring, like, another person in on your murders.
Which always, it always, like, got me thinking about the House of, like, the Firefly Clan. Like, how they recruited, like, Otis and Baby and stuff. Like.
I think in that type of situation, you're, like.
Like, are you kidnapped and then you're into it and they're like, oh, cool, like, join our team. Like.
No, I think that it's more like. You're already doing all this fucked up shit. Like, say Otis was, like, walking down the road and he sees Baby and she's, like, stabbing a dog, you know?
Oh.
He'd be like, oh, you want to stab people with me and my family?
Yeah, let's go. I wondered that.
I just made it sound like Scooby-Doo-ish. Come and kill people.
You get a Scooby snack.
But I think that's how it, like...
Okay.
Or you just kind of form into that over time.
Okay. Yeah, because I was wondering that because, well, is Baby is Mama Firefly's daughter.
Yes.
But Otis was the one that was kind of like brought in like later.
I think so. She calls him her brother.
Yeah, but okay.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Now, okay, Terry comes on to him.
So Vincent saves her.
After Vince saves her.
I don't know if that was set up.
What?
Vincent saving her. I think Vincent saw what was going down and was just like, fuck. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that wasn't set up at all.
Yes.
He says it's indecent and they need to get married.
And there's boobs. There's a boob shot.
Yeah, and you know what? Going into this, because I watched it with Greg and Pat, we usually make a prediction, like, how long before you see boobies? Because sometimes it's opening scene.
Yep.
And then other, and all kind of around the same time.
Carrie locker room scene.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the one that we just did recently, too, where we're like, oh, nothing's going to happen.
And then it was like, boobs, boobs, boobs.
Like, immediately.
Boobs, boobs, boobs.
No,
but
no, what was the one with the cool locker room that we just did? It was the Summer Party Massacre. Summer Party Massacre, yeah.
I mean, that one. come on. You could tell. There are going to be boobs.
So now this is like way into it. And finally, like, some nudity. I'm like, huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Took a long time.
But she's laying in bed naked, and then Vincent is talking to her, and she's like, oh, Vincent, and her, like, blanket falls.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
That was set up.
That was set up. I want you. And he's like, no, we have to be married first.
Marriage first.
Mm-hmm.
So then, randomly, like, the pastor tells the sheriff about the tells Bruce about the upcoming wedding.
Because Vincent goes and, like, sets it up for the next day. Like, the wedding the next day.
Which also, I wonder, like, what... It was a different time, I understand. But, like, Greg and I got married, like, mid-2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And since we got married out of state...
Yeah.
We had to, like, file for our paperwork. And then it was, like, a day or two of staying in Florida before we could get married.
Yeah.
Like, our paperwork could not have... It couldn't be same day.
The fuck ever.
I don't know. So, I guess, so people... I don't understand. I'm sure there's a reason for it. Anyway. Now, Bruce tries to stop it.
Yeah, because Bruce is like, what the fuck? Like,
of course. Now, Vince shows up as he's like trying to save the day and stop the wedding. And chases him out.
Yeah.
With a gun.
Mm-hmm.
All this chaos. You can take over because my throat is, I'm like itching like I'm going to cough.
Yeah, that's fine. So Vincent chases Bruce off and he gives, no, you're fine. And he gives Terry a wedding ring, which the plastic case is like the one that Dad had for his Michigan State ring.
Oh, you remember that? I think that was a common.
I think it was a common clear case. Yeah. And so Terry is elated. She's like, oh, or whatever, Vincent.
Whoever you are.
Whoever you are, because it's been a week and I'm getting married to you.
It's How long do you think it's been?
Maybe a week. Week and a half. 2 weeks.
No, it has to be longer than that. So I would give it a solid month.
You think those people have been in the dirt for a month?
Why not?
Okay.
Oh, but they get out, so yeah.
They get, like, fed and stuff, too, which is gross. Yeah. They get, like, these tubes, like, taped to their mouth with a funnel. Yeah. And then whatever the fuck food it is. Who knows? Dog food. Yuck.
It could be very disturbing instead of a comedy.
It's
disturbing as a comedy, but imagine how
if it was remade
it
today.
I wouldn't be able to watch it.
I wouldn't be able to watch it either. I don't think.
No. Well, it's kind of like Texas Chainsaw, like the remake that we did. Mm-hmm. That just grosses me right out. The first one, I can watch it all day long. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
The original, I should say.
Yeah.
Now, it's time to celebrate and have some drinks.
Did you notice, so Ida brings in champagne
and
little, like, noisemakers and stuff, and Terry's just having the best time, and they're, like, sitting on her bed, and Terry's drink is green.
Yeah.
And everybody else's drink is regular champagne, And I'm like, girl, you're drinking absinthe? Like, what the fuck are you drinking? And a little, like, Midori mixer? Like,
Midori.
Like, what's happening?
Some melon liqueur? Like, why are you? Oh, that just made me think of creme de menthe.
Ugh.
Yuck.
Creme de menthe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Creme de menthe.
No. I remember, this is a side story, but in my early 20s, I was poor. And Zach and I were both very poor, bringing up, like, my ex-husband. And we went to Rainforest Cafe. We thought we were just living it up. And I got, like, the big snake drink that was a Midori drink. Oh, my God. Looking back, I'm like, oh, my God. But it was, like, the best day of my early 20s.
It's kind of like going to Red Lobster and getting, like, a lobsterita where you get that just giant drink. Like, I don't want... I want that much drink, but, like, in two separate glasses.
In two separate glasses, please. I am a classy lady.
Oh, speaking of classy, Greg's, one of his last shows was at Rose's Dugout.
Okay.
And they have bucket drinks there.
Oh.
And Pat and I split a bucket, and it was, like, Islander Breeze or something. And it was just ice with, like... 20 different liquors, and they threw some cherries in there and some orange slices, and we
so it was a garbage can. You had a garbage can.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some Wapatui.
It reminds me of going to Remy's.
And getting the little pitchers?
Getting the little pitchers, but also when I would go with, like, the Gander Mountain crew and getting... the Long Island iced teas and, like, the big plastic pint thing.
No, they were like a mini pitcher.
Yes.
Like, if you think of, like, a standard, like, beer pitcher, yeah. They were those, but they were, like, half size, but they were still giant.
I got so fucked up.
I don't know what is in this drink, but we used to get them there, snake nuts.
Oh.
Where it was, like, Sprite and liquor.
It's snake eyes.
Nuts.
Snake nuts.
Snake
okay.
nuts. Because I remember thinking, like, this is delicious.
Yeah, because we would do like a snake bite, mm-hmm. and it was Guinness and some type of, like, pear cider or something, and you would put the cider in the drink, or you would put the cider in, like, a pint glass, mm-hmm. and then you would pour Guinness, like, over a spoon, so it would separate.
Oh, so they'd separate.
One of my favorite drinks. I could probably make it with, like...
Isn't that how they make a black and tan,
yeah,
too?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Where it's, like, two different beers.
And that's, like, Harp and Guinness.
There is also... Remy's was, like, the place to get, like, big, giant sweet drinks. Like, mm-hmm. Sex on the Pool Table.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, but it was bright green.
Oh, God.
And I'd get,
pool,
like,
table green.
Yeah. Ugh.
Anyway. It was whatever
drink is
Terry
green.
Was drinking.
Yeah. Now I'm going to, like, go home and look up all these things and be disgusted. Because I still drink, obviously, but I don't have a sweet tooth with drinking at all. So it's, like, vodka and soda water.
Yeah.
Or...
You like the bitter drinks.
Yeah. I don't need any of the sugary stuff. If I'm, like... Or beer. That's basically it. Or White Claw. But even sometimes White Claws are too sweet.
Yeah.
Anyway. She's poisoned. Duh.
She's not... She's, like, knocked out
because
they have work to do.
Yeah. So they knock her out with the green drink, and then they, like, get to work harvesting.
Mm-hmm.
Which, what?
It's fine.
Now, Bruce finds the motorcycle,
uh-huh.
and he sees that there is, like, shotgun shot in the
yes.
tire. So now he knows that, like, something's up.
Yeah. And then he finds the pond, too, with all of the cars.
Yes. Now, what is they,
what do they do? Like,
I just wrote Vincent Ida's hypnotizing machine.
It's so fucked up. It's so fucked up. They get them, like, they have, like, three... They're doing the band members, right? So they're
yeah.
hypnotizing the band members to make them complacent.
Yes.
It's like something the Joker would use in a Batman comic. Or when the penguin like would
animated
take
series.
When the penguin would take his umbrella. Or was that, is it the penguin that has the umbrella with the spiral? Yes.
I cannot remember.
And then they're hypnotized. It's like a comic book came to life. This would make a cool graphic novel.
Yeah, it would. Now, they take, do they just take one?
They take three of them.
Three of them.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile.
They pull them out. So they put ropes around their neck and pull them out of the dirt.
Which you would die.
You would die from that alone.
Who's the one that gets free?
Bo.
Bo gets free.
No. Oh, that might be. One of them gets free.
Well, yeah, because once they pull a couple out of the dirt, then the dirt is like loose, so they mm-hmm. can the ones in Shimmy. There can like wiggle to get mm-hmm. free. Now Bruce is on to everything.
Yeah, Bruce well, knows what
he doesn't know that the people are getting made into sausage.
No,
but he knows that his brother and Ida are the murderers.
Yeah.
Bruce goes to Terry to get her,
mm-hmm.
wake her up. Vince sends Ida inside and catches Bruce getting Terry to leave.
Mm-hmm.
This goes great.
Oh my God.
Now, at this point, this is when the farm have dug themselves out.
Yes. One gets out, and then he unveils all of the other ones, and then is helping them, like, dig out.
Yeah. Yeah. So it just took one to get out, sets everybody else free. Now,
would you help everybody, or would you bail?
I have no idea. Imagine how, like, psychologically damaged you would be from being in this situation.
Yes.
So
years of therapy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Although not back then, they would probably develop a drinking problem and
a nasty drug habit,
a cocaine problem. It's the 80s. Everybody was doing cocaine.
I don't know. I don't know what I would do.
Okay.
I mean, once they were free. This is another thing, too. Like, they're buried for however long, and they can just, like, jump into action.
Yeah.
Where, you know, if I lay on the couch for a day, I'm, like, sore the next day.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Well, Terry, not having it. She spits in Vincent's face.
Yes.
So, that's pretty much a gigantic insult. Well, then the farm is going after Ida.
Mm-hmm.
Vince tries to talk to Terry, tries to get her on board.
No, thank you.
I mean, I feel like it's you're pretty black or white on whether or not you would kill people and eat them.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's, like, gray area.
There. I'll eat a little bit of foot, but that's about it.
Yeah. I guess, though, you get in those situations where you're, like, stranded in the wilderness and you have to
stranded in the Andes.
Yes, with your team.
Yikes.
Horrible.
Do you ever watch Yellow Jackets?
No, but I heard it's amazing.
Oh my God.
Because in that it starts out, or it's like them as adults, but that happened to them as like teenagers.
Uh-huh. I watched like 4 or 5 episodes of the first season, and then I lost the account because it's not on Apple TV. I can't remember what it's on. It's on like Paramount or something.
It's on something. It might be Paramount.
Yeah.
It's one that we don't have. I know that. Now, she tries to escape. Terry tries to escape. And Vince gasses her.
Yeah.
Which, okay.
Whatever.
Now, oddly enough, here comes Bo falling through the skylight.
Yes, because he's trying to find Terry. He's trying to find Terry. He falls through the skylight. There's an epic battle, which I think...
An epic chainsaw fight is what I wrote down.
Epic chainsaw fight. Bo ends up in hell. I don't know what... like, Vince just shoves him into a furnace or...
I think it's like the smoker.
It's just weird. Like, he opens these big doors, and there's, like, a railing, and he just, like, shoves him over, and it's, like,
it's glowy. Like, it's, like, where they would smoke, hang and smoke meat.
Oh.
Right?
Oh, I think so. Sure. Yeah.
Sure. Now, there's this huge... So
Bo gone. Bo's gone.
This is whenever a lot of action starts... I just want you to take over, like, right now, because I get too into the movie to write.
Okay. So, Terry is on the slicer thing. Like, the machine is going, and she's knocked out, and it's...
Very old-timey movie.
Yeah. And the conveyor belt moves slow when it's supposed to move slow, and fast when it's supposed to move fast, per usual in every movie.
Yeah.
It's not consistent. And during this, Vincent... And Bruce are having crazy chainsaw fight.
That took like 5 12-hour days to shoot. Really? Like that.
Yeah, I could imagine.
Yeah.
And Vincent has like a pig head on his head now.
He's wearing a pig mask.
It's just chaos. And like Bruce gets like jabbed a couple times.
Yes.
And
lightly like grazed.
Yeah.
But they show it in detail. But he's...
Stuffing and cotton is falling all over the place, whatever. So finally, Bruce gets Vincent in the side. And that is pretty gross. Like, there's, like, it looks like ham and stuff is, like,
coming out. There's meat hanging out. Yeah.
And so Vincent is kind of, like, collapsed over. And then Bruce...
He's dying from these injuries.
Yeah. Bruce goes over and rescues Terry, and it's this big, like, oh, yay.
I wonder if she's going to marry him now.
Probably.
Would she inherit all that? Would she inherit the...
They weren't married yet.
Oh, yeah.
So Bruce probably would.
Yeah, Bruce would.
His brother.
Now, if you were Terry, would you just continue, like, living on that farm? Or in the farm slash hotel?
The way she is going, yes. Me personally, no.
First, I was in a traumatic motorcycle crash. I was nursed back to health. I wanted to marry this guy.
I was almost drowned.
Oh, yeah, I was almost drowned. Was going to marry this guy, and then...
Turned out to be a cannibal.
Turned out he was a cannibal. Not only a cannibal, but grinding up people and selling them to other people, which makes it even...
Too many people on the planet. Understood, but weird.
Weird, fucked up. Mm-hmm. And then she gets... almost sliced up in a meat slicer.
And then is rescued by the brother.
So based on the storyline, she should fall in love with him and marry him.
Yeah. And run the meat farm, but as an actual meat farm.
Oh, it would go under because people wouldn't like it anymore.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Those people would be like, the sausage tastes different. Breaking news. Oh, my God. Can you imagine, like, the news coverage of this?
It'd be wild.
Wild. Anyway. What's his dying confession? I used preservatives.
Not that, oh my God, I'm so sorry for murdering all these people. It's the preservatives.
Yeah. So then they check the garden and everyone's gone.
Everyone's gone. Except one.
Yes. Except poor Ida.
Who's buried headfirst.
Yes.
Hilarious.
That was pretty funny, actually.
It was pretty good. Yeah, and they walk out, and Bruce is like, what do you want to do? And she's like, we have to burn the place down. Like, just burn the place down. And then it explodes.
He said it. It's an evil motel, okay?
It's an evil motel. Evil atrocities happened there.
Very little to do with the actual storyline.
Yeah, and it blew up. Or the sign blew up.
The sign blew up.
It's just...
But that's kind of like the like end.
The symbology.
You know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it.
I thought it was goofy.
I would watch it again.
I would probably watch it again, too. It was just... It was a lighthearted... You know, and all of those people, like, where did all the people go? Running around this county? Like, hopefully they went to the hospital.
You know what it reminds me of a little bit? Like, just, like, when you put it that way, like, people under the stairs.
Where do they go?
All those, like, weird...
Mutated children.
Yeah. just out free.
Who mutated over the course of like 2 years being in a basement.
Well, I mean, they were definitely like heavily made up going to a completely different movie. But they were living in the dark, complete darkness, eating rotten food.
That's true.
Next to a pit, which we've went over. If a mouse dies in your house, your whole house stinks. So how do you have a pit in your basement full of rotten bodies?
Yeah, that's true.
Isn't smelling up the whole neighborhood.
Yeah.
If there's a dead deer along the side of the road, you smell it like 10 miles before you get there.
Yeah.
Like
yes.
But they have a pit full of corpses. Gross. And a ton of unwashed people in the basement with, I'm sure, infections.
I sometimes think of what it would smell like in, like, Outlander time. And Gail, the author of Outlander, describes it really well in the book. Because Claire comes from, like, 1940, where, like, hygiene and stuff was pretty common amongst people. And then she goes back to, like, 1700 Scotland, and she just describes the smell that she can just, like, smell these people from, like, yards and yards away.
Oh.
Yeah. And, like, the smells of, like, the towns and stuff. Like, Edinburgh is just, like, disgusting, smelly and stuff.
Well, yeah, because people just dump their sewage out in the street and then walked around in it.
Yeah.
Like,
so when her and Jamie got together, like, Jamie was relatively hygienic, which is strange, but Claire kind of, like, passed on, like, that's why a lot of the people in her village lived to be forever old, because she taught them, like, basic hygiene, like, brushing your teeth and, like, greens and stuff like that.
Yeah, you can't just eat, like, meat and porridge every day of your life.
Yeah.
When you start reading ACOTAR, let me know what time period you think it is.
Okay.
Because it's fairyland, you know, like made up time. So part of it is like...
Well, it's just like Hunger Games. Like what time period was Hunger Games in?
It's similar to that, because when it starts out, you think like rural England, you know, because they're like hunting for food and merchants come to town and there's bartering.
Mid to late 1700s, maybe. Early
1800s. So you get, like, that idea. But then when she describes her clothing, like, for the most part, women wear dresses. But then later on, she's, like, wearing leggings and, like, a big fluffy sweater. And I'm like, so it's, like, 2010. Like, right. What?
Yeah. It's fairyland. I'll let you know, though.
Okay. Because it goes back and forth. Sometimes
when we
talk about,
like, period dramas and stuff, so I could maybe pick it up. But anyway,
I loved it. Scariness, if you really think about it, like a five. If it wasn't a comedy, the fact that it's a comedy, a one.
Yes. Like we've talked about, if they redid it today, I wouldn't watch it. No, thank you.
Gore, one. One. It's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad.
You don't see anything super gross.
No. Anyway, that was Motel Hell O. If you like what you hear and you want to know what we're going to be doing in the future, follow us on Instagram. It's /your movie review, all one word, all lowercase. We also have a Facebook page, /your movie review. And if iTunes and Spotify aren't your jam, listen to us every Friday night on mtrsradio.com at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
All right. I hope everyone has a good night and a good week.
Bye.
Bye.